Said semen facial, by the way.
Being a personal trainer and nutrition
natural
advisor,
as it gets.
I'm very much into fitness and a clean and healthy body.
Fitness facial, my face.
Nutritional benefits from eating semen, some of which I'm going to read out to you now. So, 1 teaspoon of semen contains over 200 proteins, several helpful vitamins, minerals, including vitamin C, calcium, chloride, citric acid, fructose, lactic acid, magnesium, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, vitamin B12, and zinc. Wow, that's a lot in shot. Please excuse the pun. So today I am going to be drinking my friend's semen. And this is because I don't have a partner. You know, in a relationship, I think it's always important.
You need to start charging for that shit.
You've had all of the checks for STIs and STDs. It's also important to lead a healthy, organic lifestyle. Eat clean when you can, avoid processed foods, and try to stick to things that are raw and contain as much nutrition.
I only eat free-range organic semen.
The taste of semen is to consume things such as pineapple juice, wheatgrass, peppermint, and cinnamon.
There you go, guys.
It's making it smell particularly bad. Semen will vary throughout the day, whether it's in the morning or last thing at night, how hydrated you are, the kind of diet and lifestyle that you have and lead. And also, if there is a dramatic difference in the taste and texture of your semen, it could be an indication that there's some underlying health problems. So it's very helpful to know your type of semen, just as we would taste
just know it, just taste
so
it, know it.
So this is going to be using a friend's semen, and he's absolutely fine with that. I am not
bet he is.
In the extraction of the semen, I'd just like to point out, he's brought it round to me in a bowl here. It's fairly loose. There's a kind of wateriness to the edges of it, a bit like wine would be.
I wonder how old that is.
Swirls. You can see the semen in that.
Yummy.
So this is one ejaculation. I'll show you the teaspoon.
She's putting it in a spoon now for the people that can't see this. She's spooning the semen. This is disgusting.
Top notch.
And this is the first time that I'm going to try my friend's semen. So I'm going to
that's a lie.
An idea of what it tastes like. You can see the texture from this. So this is at lunchtime. It's about an hour old.
That's okay, there we go. It's an hour old. Damn, he just ran home on his lunch break and jerked off her.
It smells kind of like old books and
the old book note.
It smells quite mellow.
He wasn't getting enough pineapple juice. Oh, I got it on my face.
She's about to taste it.
She just got it on her nose.
Because it's actually an antidepressant because it contains melatonin, which helps to induce sleep. Oral sex can also lower your blood pressure. And for the men, it helps to prevent prostate cancer because of the ejaculation. So actually, there's some really good health benefits for men and women alike. Anyway, I'm going to give this a go now. So
she's painfully single. She's drinking her friend's semen. She's not getting out enough.
She just spooned it in her mouth.
And it's surprisingly salty.
Surprisingly.
It has a kind of tang to it that goes to the back of the mouth. It really soaks into the tongue. It's quite cool. I would expect it to have been.
She's struggling with this.
Kind of room temperature taste, but actually, it's very cold tasting in that sense without being refrigerated. And it has a kind of salty sweetness to it, in the respect that it kind of films the back of your throat. You can feel it kind of coating and absorbing into everything.
Feel the health benefits.
It's kind of like when you
absorbing in the back of my throat.
It's very intense. It's that kind of feeling. But even though it went onto my tongue and I could feel it sucking into the tongue, it's actually the back of my throat where it's remained, and that's where I'm tasting it here. It's a kind of
come throat
glossiness that absorbs it. I think having a shot of that every morning will certainly add to a healthy diet and lifestyle.
Oh my god.
That was the most PC blowjob I've ever seen.
You think she swallows?
I mean, she has to, right? She's got to sell her own product.
She sets it up as like a health benefit. I bet taking it straight from the tap is probably a better way to go.
That's probably why crack whores never die.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. I saw that and I was like, we have to put this on the show. I know it's a little over the top, but she just straight up is eating semen, man.
I can honestly say it's the first time in my life that I've seen a girl swallow a load and I'm not even remotely turned on.
Not at all. I'm actually completely disgusted. And how she mentions at the beginning of the video how she talks about the semen facial. That's another thing she does.
Right.
So she's all about the fucking cum facial, the fucking semen swallowing.
I wonder if she needs a supplier.
She had... The dude setting her up with old book cum.
Yeah, right. Like I could give her Hardee's cum right now.
Oh my god. Hey, it's another Sunday. This is the Whiskey Wagers. Let's go. All right. We are back again. It's just me and Fada in the studio today. We were actually planning on having a guest. We don't even need to mention Chad bailing on us.
I'm shocked.
I'm so shocked. I would have never expected that from Chad, just forgetting. But yeah, we're back. Just a quick little reminder, we did do Juice in the Morning on Friday, so when... It's on the Facebook page. It's on ours. It's on his. It was a great episode.
Yeah, that
Fada,
was crazy.
Fada killed it. It was awesome, man.
Fada
it was a
killed
good time.
A bunch of whiskey too.
Killed a bunch of whiskey. That was great, man. It was fun. But yeah, we're back, and that's our opener. I know we've kind of gone sexual the last two openers with the porn horror stories, and now this. I wanted to briefly talk about that girl. Kind of reminded me of some. I don't know why I think of this when I have fucking the cum review, I guess, for lack of a better word. She was like giving it like almost like a fine food review when people are like, yeah, there's a bit of pepper
yeah, like
on the front and on the
palate. She described
the
taste way too long.
Way too much. Like it's tangy on the palate and it really sits on the tongue, and then the paprika comes in on the back end with the smoky char of the fucking salmon, like damn.
And then the saltiness of the balls accents the pineapple well.
So ladies, you heard it here first. That was from a woman. She's telling you the benefits. There are absolutely benefits to drinking semen. You heard it. It's antidepressant.
It's so good for you.
It's good for cancer relief. Man, it just has endless benefits.
It sounds like we should be drinking our own semen. I don't know why we're so willing to give it to a woman.
She almost like implied that, like, well, when there's a change in the taste, that can imply something's wrong. Like,
I should sample my own supply.
Yeah, who's gonna be fucking sampling this, dude?
Your girlfriend or wife or whatever's gonna be like, man, your cum was weird today. I think you're sick.
You might be sick.
I think you got the cancer, man.
It's like my wife watches this show, The Bachelorette, which is the stupidest
oh, God,
thing ever.
Yeah.
I hate it because I'm always ripping on it. I'm like, you know, she's like sucked like this dude's dick and is now kissing this guy. She's probably got a plethora of semen taste reviews.
Just like a constant film on her lips.
Yeah, man.
That's why she's so healthy looking.
Yeah, I guess. That's how you find love. I guess you just choose the best tasting one, and that's... That's the guy. You know, his health is great. He probably has a good job set up, and now you're good to go.
That's terrible.
That's absolutely disgusting.
That's how you judge all of your partners.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, his semen was terrible. I can't marry that guy.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Terrible. I wanted to jump into this early while it's fresh in my mind, do our bunghole of the week. So we all have some working familiarity with the chip now, right? Like, 2 years ago, that ruined our lives.
The chip.
In your debit card.
Okay.
You have
to
insert it now instead of just swiping.
Yep.
So you ever get in line behind those people and they put the chip and they're like, okay, it doesn't work, so I know I have to do this three times and then swipe it. Like, have you never run across that?
No, it goes, so if they fuck it up enough, right, they have to swipe it.
So eventually, if your chip goes out, you put it in the chip reader, it says, chip is malfunctioning, try again. You have to do it three times, and then the machine will give up and allow you to swipe. Like,
you fucking dipshit, just swipe it.
You can't. It's built in the machine, you have to try the chip first.
Yeah.
So...
But that's like the dipshit safety. Like, all right, we'll let you swipe it, I guess.
Right, now that you fucked this up enough. So this happened to me at a gas station recently. And so I'm like, you know what? I got to ask this lady. I'm like, how fucking long has this chip been broken? Like, you clearly knew this was going to happen.
Yep.
How long have you been dealing with? She's like, oh, it's been like this for months. And then like laughed and walked away. And all I can think about is, for months, this woman has pissed everybody off every time she spent money.
She don't give a fuck.
Like, go get a new card. It's like $5 for a new debit card.
Yeah. They should, if you just fucking report it as broken.
Yeah, they can
broken,
just send
just gonna,
it. They'll just send you a new one.
Mail it.
Oh, my God. I hate those people, though.
That ties in. I've wanted to bring this up as well. It kind of ties into this, but I had this happen to Dave, and I have two bungholes for this, but this ties into yours. So whenever I go to the ATM in the car, you're waiting in a line. Dude, I always get caught behind the person that doesn't know how to fucking operate an ATM. Yeah. It's like you're either taking money out or you're putting money in. I swear to God, I get caught behind these people. They have to read every prompt or something.
Every single thing.
It drives me insane because I can be done at an ATM.
Three seconds.
Less than fucking, definitely less than a minute.
Right.
I'm in, I'm out, I'm gone. I sat today at an ATM. I shit you not, it took this one car over 5 minutes and I was so fucking furious.
She's like, just like depositing checks or something one at a time.
Even if you're depositing checks, it takes fucking 30 of them at once.
Right.
Come on. Like, I hate that.
Yeah,
it
that
drives
me nuts.
I'll leave and go to another ATM if I can tell you can't operate it. Like, just, I don't even need to know your, just put your card in, put your PIN in, and tell me what you need done. Like, you need 100, are you depositing? I'll have you done in a minute.
Like, just let me get up there and do it for you.
Yeah, I really could. Like a gas station attendant. But Jesus, man, you can just tell, like, that drives me insane. But shifting gears to my other scenario this week that really just sent me up the wall. I think I texted you about this, but I'm at work, slow part of the day, you know, 2 after lunch, something like that. I want a quick smoke. So I walk outside, I go to my car to light up a cigarette, and there's a lady sitting in the vehicle next to me. She's got her windows up. She's on her phone. Her windows are up. Her AC's on. She's just reading her phone.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. You know, fuck, I'm going to light my cigarette, enjoy it, get back into work. So I'm having my cigarette, and all of a sudden, the lady, she rolls her window down, looks over to me and goes, "You think you could roll your window up? You're polluting the air. Could you roll it up?" And I look at her, just, I'm like, oh my God. I look at her and I say, "Nah, it's broken."
Yeah. Sorry, window's broke.
Sorry, it's broken. Can't help you there. Because I'm not going to sit and hot box a cigarette in my car.
You know,
that's
it would have
disgusting.
Been one thing if she was like, I can smell that. Could you
sure.
please move away?
Sure. And
but she's more concerned with you polluting the environment. Like, go fuck yourself.
Well, what's ironic about that is, bitch, if you're
she's
worried
running
about
her
that,
car.
Yeah, you're sitting in the car with your AC running. If you were really worried about that, like.
She probably drives an SUV, too.
It was.
Guaranteed.
It was like a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Oh, yeah.
It was four-door
just
SUV.
Fuel hog.
And she just had the audacity, like. I get what you're saying. If I'm like blowing smoke on you, and I'm cognizant
sure,
of that, like I'm,
yeah.
I'll drive away.
We can all be respectful
I'll
of each
walk
other.
Walk away or go somewhere where I'm like not gonna blow smoke on you. But
right.
She rolled the window down, went out of her way to tell me that I needed to roll my window up, like thinking like I'm gonna hot box a cigarette. I'm not gonna do that. And it was 100 degrees out. That's so
terrible.
I got done with my cigarette, rolled my window up. And went inside, and I know she saw that, and that had to have pissed her off.
I know. So we talked about a while ago, there was a guy that like harmed himself at your work. Did he come back?
Yeah.
Is he back?
Yeah, well, he slit his throat.
Right,
at work. Slit his throat in the car at work. I don't know the guy. I never heard anymore, but I saw the whole scenario go down.
I didn't know if he, like, was in the cubicle next to you or something. That's why you wanted to kill him. So
no, I would have encouraged him to use a gun. He sat with me.
If you're going to do it right. Here you go.
Yeah, come on, man. You might miss. Step up. I always wonder when people fail to kill themselves.
It's an attention
thing.
That's the way I always saw it.
It has to be, right?
Yeah, because if you're going to do it, you're just going to do it.
Yeah, if you really want to kill yourself, you can do it. If you were going to kill yourself and you were committed to it, like, bullet to the head, right?
Now, I will say, like, I've heard of scenarios where people, like, do everything, you know, like, possible and still doesn't kill
those
them.
That's different, though. That's so fucking rare. But, yeah, think if you were the person who put the bullet in your head and, like, somehow you lived and you're just crippled.
Just wake up weeks later, like, fucked. Oh, yeah, that's even worse.
I have done what's called a living will.
Right.
And because I had a friend pass away. And he was on life support, just fucking terrible situation, man. He was on life support for a while. And, like, I started thinking about that. I was like, what if that was me? What if you're aware at that point? And I got, like, legitimately scared thinking about that. So I did a living will where if I'm on, like, life support and they're saying, like, there's no chance, really, or if there's a chance that I can live, yeah, I want to try. But if it's like, man, he's pretty much brain dead, don't keep me alive.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That I couldn't.
That's just hard on everyone.
It is. I couldn't imagine a much worse scenario where if you had awareness, if you knew what was going on, your mom or your loved ones are there talking to you, and you just have to fucking sit there and look.
You can't respond in any way.
And maybe you're in fucking pain. So I did a living will where I'm like, if I'm in that situation, pull the plug on me. My family has the right to decide. But that's one of my biggest fears is to like be a vegetable.
I just heard a story about this guy was paralyzed. So the only thing he could move was like one eye. And he wrote a book. Like he wrote a whole language using eye movement. And I'm assuming some help, and wrote his own language, and then
think
right. But in that wild, like
it's probably like some set up like Stephen Hawking, where he could like look at the
I'm sure it started off more rudimentary than that. It was like, you know, if I blink 10 times, that's the letter or whatever, E or whatever it is.
There's some advanced software technology where he was able to select.
That's
words.
Still wild though. Like I'm. More or less just perfectly functioning, and
so,
I don't have the patience
for
that.
So that kind of goes to what I've just said, is he did have awareness then.
Yeah, yeah, and was trapped.
But
that's
kind of
cool, though. Like, I kind of want to read this book, though, because I want to know how that person thinks. Like, his whole world is completely different than yours and mine.
Yeah.
I mean, on every level.
There's no quality of life. I want to have a quality of
life. I mean, I think there's still quality of life there.
If you're
bedridden. Just not in the same way that you or I think about it.
I don't think there is a quality of... Personally, I don't. If I'm bedridden, somebody has to wipe my ass and I shit in a diaper.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't
want... You can compare that to the same things as like driving to work or... there's all shit that we don't want to do, but we have to deal with. You know what I mean?
I don't see it the same at all, personally.
Or like old people who have trouble walking. That doesn't mean that they're...
Yeah, I don't like driving to work, but at the end of the day, if I really don't want to, I don't fucking have
That's
to.
That's true.
He doesn't have a choice. I don't have to do that. I can lose my job. I could call in sick. But like, this dude doesn't have an option.
Right, there's no other out.
No, there's no out. There's zero outs. That would be a nightmare. Yeah, I think if I was going to try to like suicide myself like a way that it was like I wasn't sure. I was like, man, I kind of want to kill myself. I'm definitely going to do drugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Just go out hard.
Go out hard and then you might die or you might not. You know, that would be that. If I was... I would never want to have a painful suicide.
Yeah, I always thought about like the car in the garage would be the way to go. Like door down.
Do you really?
Yeah, just drift away.
Oh man.
You don't carbon monoxide fall asleep, poison. Man.
I wonder if you do or if you start coughing and choking. It seems kind of like the gas chamber cuz with like prisoners, I know it's not the same, but when prisoners get the gas chamber, like it's still a thing. That you can choose it.
Oh,
there's
shit.
A couple states where you can still do a firing squad.
Yeah, I know Texas you can still
hanging,
do
hanging, yeah. Gas chamber, or lethal injection. And the gas chamber, like, their blood or their lungs fill up with blood. They start coughing and choking.
That sounds awful.
And it's painful. Like, your lungs burn like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't think it's like that. I think everything I've ever read about like carbon monoxide poisoning is you just get sleepy and then you're
that
you
and
just
that
fall
makes
asleep.
Sense. That does make sense because you know, like a carbon monoxide detector, it's set up because you're not aware
right,
when it's
right,
happening.
Exactly.
You can't smell it and you don't know,
and
you
just
might
peacefully
be kind of
sleep to death.
Exactly. So it probably is kind of a subtle thing.
That's
to happen.
The way to go.
If you're a prisoner and you're on death row, which way are you taking out of those options? You got the firing squad, the lethal injection, hanging, or the gas chamber?
I'm probably going lethal injection. That seems like the most humane
way. Yeah, it does.
I don't even like needles that much.
Me neither, but I actually, that's like one of my biggest phobias is
yeah,
needles.
Yeah, I hate them.
And the only thing, it's definitely the most humane and probably the least painful. But the only thing about it is I do feel kind of like they're like putting a dog down. Almost, it's like,
oh, well, I mean,
we're just gonna euthanize this dog.
I mean, think about the dogs that get euthanized. They're dogs that are either too old or too violent to socialize normally. So, I mean, that's essentially what death row inmates are. They're too violent. We've all deemed them unfit for society, so we just put them away.
So, this kind of leads into a topic that I would like to discuss a little bit is the death penalty. Like, I was originally for that. I supported it because
right.
I guess I should put a caveat in. I support the death penalty in instances where there's absolute certainty. There's no question. Like, we all saw you kill all these babies and like you're owning up to it too. Like, there can't be any question.
Well, I mean, my only qualm with it, because I've historically been pro death penalty. I think there are circumstances where that is applicable.
It's so heinous.
That's a hard thing to say though, because what you're saying is that this person is no longer fit for life. Mm. They have made enough choices that we as a community have decided that we would rather watch them die than let them live among us.
I think
us.
There's certain situations where I would support it. Like,
yeah, but
you're
saying
like
that whole person's
babies.
Life is completely irredeemable.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, that's a hefty thing to say, but I don't think we look at it in as heavy of a light as that typically. But and I'm still pro capital punishment. I think there are instances mm-hmm. where it's definitely...
Yeah, like if you rape
I'm surprised
babies,
Manson is still alive.
He passed away, but
well,
he didn't
yeah.
get the death penalty.
But yeah, I'm surprised we didn't kill that guy. I mean,
yeah, there's so many appeals, but the reason so I support it to an extent, like those scenarios where you know,
yeah, if you take an innocent life,
that's the problem.
That's a difference. That's we're not saying that your life is completely irredeemable. We're saying that it's equal to the one you took, and now we're taking that from you.
Yeah, the two problems I have with the other side of the death penalty is, one,
our incarceration rate
innocent,
is extremely off.
People definitely get convicted of things.
Yeah, way too often.
There's two documentaries or shows on Netflix that I've watched recently. One's called Exhibit A. The other are the confession tapes for people confessed, like, crimes they actually didn't do.
Right, where they've been bullied into a confession.
And, so, like, on the exhibit tapes, or Exhibit A, excuse me. So, in the past, even DNA, like, when DNA was in its beginning, there's transferable DNA. Like, if me and you
right,
shake
hands, and then you kill someone, or
yes,
I kill someone, they
say,
could still
say,
get...
Me and you shake hands. I go rob the guy next door. I use the doorknob. I break in, and I kill everybody. Your DNA could show
there.
Up on
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
So, transferable DNA is kind of super crazy.
I read a statistic, like, 3 or 4 years ago. It said our incarceration rate, like, of all the people in jail that have been convicted, it's something like only 75% of them are actually guilty. And I'm not sure how they weeded that out, how they came up with that number. But in my mind, if it's over 2%, it's too much.
Yeah, you're really fucking up.
Like, our
lot.
System is not working well.
Yeah. And
I mean, if 15% of the Nikes that got sold had a defect in them, we would stop buying Nikes, right?
Yes. And the other problem I have is just the ability to give the government that much power to say who
to kill people.
I almost
legally.
Feel like. Yeah, I know there's a jury involved in those things, but at the end of the day, you're saying, like, we do give the state the right to take your life, and I think that's a super slippery slope.
It is. The only trade-off is it's completely transparent. You can look up all the information. So, in that regard,
yeah,
I'm on board with it.
I mean, unless it's like the Clintons and they're going out here.
Yeah, sniping. But that's what I'm saying. That's happening too, more than likely. And we're not as worried about that.
He suicided himself with two bullets in his head, shotgun and an AR-15.
Dude, the Anthony Bourdain thing was the one that really turned me on that. Have you ever read anything about that?
You think he hung himself
like the same weekend as the lady that owned the purse company. I can't remember which one it was.
Kate Spade.
Is that who it was?
I don't know.
No, it was a.
That's the first thing I can't remember.
But they both suicided themselves the same weekend, and they were supposed to testify that week against some event that had happened. Yeah,
Bourdain and this person. Yeah.
So that was like way too many red flags to dismiss.
I mean, when you're a witness to like some heinous crime and you're involved with some shady people, like the mob back in the day were just offing people left and right, like because if you don't have the witnesses, yeah, who's there to testify?
You
where's
write
the
a
case
song
go?
Like Tom Collins.
It's there's a great
or Phil Collins.
There's a great quote in Training Day. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Oh yeah,
and that
yeah.
is so true,
especially in our world today. But shit, that barely even matters. Look how many people. Look, I mean, Bill Cosby went to jail on circumstantial evidence and fucking.
Happens
witness
man.
Accounts from 40 years ago.
Yeah, it happens. And eyewitness testimony is one of the most unreliable forms
of
evidence.
Oh yeah, and that's been proven over and over and over and over again.
So like there's to go back to Exhibit A real quick. So there's four different episodes within this documentary, and it talks about all these different kinds of evidence and how they're super unreliable. So there's video evidence that turns out to be unreliable
because it's easily doctored.
Your
perspective makes a big difference. Yeah,
there's perspective, and all a video is, people think it's a moving motion, but all a video actually is a bunch of stills that are put together quickly, and there's just situations where heights can get skewed and things like that. So a guy got convicted based on bad video.
Yeah,
evidence.
I saw the first episode.
You did see that.
Yeah, I watched that.
He's
one.
Like 6'2", but the guy's walking out of the convenience store next to, like, and I thought of
another shorter person.
I think this is why convenience stores do this now. And I never thought of that. I was like, oh, that makes perfect fucking sense. But if you rob it, you know how they have the height strips
on the door?
It's so when you walk out next to that, they have your height right there.
Yeah,
I never thought about that until
either.
I saw that. I was like, shit, that's why they're there. It's not so a kid can go in there and be like, I grew 2 inches today.
Yeah.
No, it's there. So if you
I wonder if that's
it,
why Steak and Shake has it like that, too.
It's absolutely why gas stations do. And I never thought
There's always
thought
a Steak
that.
And Shake in a shady place, too, though. So that would make sense.
I love those steak burgers, man. Love them.
So is the ghetto.
But there was also evidence such as, I mentioned the DNA and transferable DNA, bloodhounds, like the dogs.
Yeah.
There was a guy in Detroit who was convicted. They said he murdered his daughter because a cadaver dog had set off on his baby's, not stroller, but car seat.
Right.
And it was a really old car seat. They got it used from somebody. The gentleman claims that he was carjacked and they took his daughter or something like that. And cadaver dogs hit on this, and he was convicted solely because they never found the girl that you know, they're saying that she's still gone.
He had a
she's
bad lawyer.
Lost. And he got convicted because those cadaver dogs had hit on that, and they did all these tests where they would go hide human scent or something like that in the woods, and they would test to see if the dog would hit on it or if they would hit on maybe like a dead coyote skull.
Right.
And these dogs were definitely not 100% accurate. So just kind of goes to the point of, man, there's always situations where it's just questionable. And if there's any form of a question where, like, well, we're not 100% sure, like, you definitely can't bring a death
Dude,
penalty
that,
into that.
See, that always bugged me. Like, if you have a good lawyer, your chances are better. I mean, I understand.
Money.
I understand, like, you know, there should be a difference between someone who went to law school and someone who didn't. You know, if it's me representing myself versus someone who spent time learning the law. But within the lawyer world, you would think that the system would be designed so it's easy enough to disseminate the fact from, you know, the theory. that people who, that everyone that graduates law school should be capable of that in some form or fashion.
Yeah. I wonder if R. Kelly has a good lawyer, because he's kind of back in the shit again.
Oh, dude, he's fucked.
Fuck R. Kelly, though. I don't even want to give him the time of day on our show to talk about. Oh, I agree. Have you done any of the, so like the trend right now, I don't know, trend, but everybody's doing the Snapchat filter, or the old face filter?
No, I haven't. So I read about that. It's actually a whole nother app you have to download.
It is. It's called like Face App or something.
Yeah, and I saw something.
Was it the Russians?
No, but the company that owns that app, now you have to give them access to your entire camera roll when you do it, right? So every picture you have on your device, they can access, and they have never-ending
leaked nudes.
They have never-ending constant rights to those images from now until forever.
What?
Yeah. But
can I just go on my iPhone and turn those permissions off, or
it's part of the license agreement for the app?
What if I uninstall it?
It's still a binding contract that you signed when you agreed to their terms and conditions.
Fuck.
Yeah. Did you do it?
I did it once, but I didn't post it. I just wanted to see because everybody's doing it. I definitely looked like my dad because a lot of people.
Yeah, I've heard
it.
A lot of people say that it looks just like their parents or their grandparents.
A ton of people I've seen do it. Like, I know their parents. And I'm like, holy shit, that looks like your dad. But yeah, that's crazy because I saw some stuff like, oh, the Russians are going to have access to your photos. So it must be coming from, like, you know, everybody just clicks I agree, right? You know,
oh, yeah. Nobody reads the terms and conditions.
Kind of. I know we talk about South Park a lot, but they they, of course, hit on
human
that. The human centipede. Cinepad. Yes.
That one's so funny.
But it's like just like
so
that.
Sorry, Kyle.
That's a great, great episode. But it's just like that, man. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you don't know what you're agreeing to. That's crazy.
And especially like in today's world where like your picture can unlock your phone, or I mean, you can get into someone's entire life if you have their phone and, you know, their likeness.
Yeah.
Their thumbprint.
Don't be surprised if there's like leaked nudes of celebrities or something coming out. If I was a business, I'd put some just ridiculous shit in my agreement that people are obviously right. going to agree to, and they're not going
to
know. Like,
to give me like a vial of blood from your firstborn child.
Bang your wife on Saturdays. And you have to watch the kids.
That'd be so funny. Like, you get so many people like that.
Do you read them? I don't.
Fuck no.
So this is interesting.
I assume it's just a general contract.
Yeah, this is interesting to me because my job is I work on contracts. I'm contract management. Like, I create the contracts for the hospitals, this and that, and. Like, when we're going through those, obviously this is a hospital network, but like every line is read in detail.
By more than one person.
By numerous people. Right. There's so many people that have to sign off on an agreement before you can even begin to move forward.
That's partly why even like the general consumer ones are so lengthy, though.
Oh, yeah. There's so many lawyers that have their hands on those.
So me as a consumer, to sit down and read all of that, understand all the jargon, I mean, you're asking a lot of someone who may or may not even be educated.
Yeah, there's just no doubt that people like it. You just want to get the app, and boom.
Right. I mean, it's a liability thing, I would assume.
Yeah,
I've never
is.
Actually read one.
That's what they're doing. They're covering their bases. I have a rule of thumb, though. This is like with the Snapchat filters, the dogs and shit. If you go to her Facebook page and like all her pictures are Snapchat filters, she a hoe.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. She's trying to clap back.
She's a hoe. If all your pictures are your dog face, the worst one is the dog with the tongue coming out.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. You can do some, but if every picture on your front bio or whatever is that, I just instantly say, that's a hoe.
For sure. Hoe for sure.
That's one of my things. And then if she does hair, she definitely a hoe.
Snapchat fucking changed so much for people, like, especially in their early 20s.
The thing now is, like, premium Snapchats.
Oh, Snapcash?
People are actually paying to get premium Snapchats.
Yeah, these snap hoes, man.
That's. I think a lot of it is sex related. Because what other kind of picture would you pay for? Like, you're not gonna pay to see somebody doing a basketball workout.
I'd love to see your artwork.
Right. Yeah, I'm not gonna pay to see your workout routine or anything like that.
No,
like,
I think there are like some fitness people that do like that's how they do their classes now, so they don't have to have a gym to host 20 people.
They do classes.
Yeah, I've heard some stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, we can even post our podcast through Snapchat if we want to.
So it's not limited to
right. They've opened it up a lot.
I don't use Snapchat that often, and I always knew it as just limited to like a 10-second video. You can do like an episode of something on there.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't messed with this.
But you're the social media guy of our page. Why aren't you taking care of that shit?
I haven't messed. I'm not tech savvy or young enough to fully understand Snapchat. Like, my cousins give me shit because I'm still on Facebook. Like, oh God, you're so old. You use Facebook?
It's
the best platform for everything.
As opposed to what? I don't feel like it's like an old thing to do. Like, everybody does it.
Yeah, but the younger generation, it's all about Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter.
Instagram is the big one now. Yeah. Right?
Facebook is just so convenient, especially for like what we're trying to do with
Instagram
it.
I think Instagram might have the most opportunity to get monetization and, well, actually probably YouTube, but I know that if you get a lot of followers on anything, you will have
you're gonna escalate quickly.
Ad revenues and
those guys that play video games and shit.
There's ways to make money. There's that one kid that just opens up
just
toys
review. Dude, he has a show on Hulu.
He's making more money than we will ever make.
Yeah.
It's insane.
He was like 8 or 9
and
when they started.
We talked about this a little off air, but let's talk about it now. Like, what is it? There's a formula to these things that just catch with society, and it's like, dude, I swear to God, we have a better show or something than this kid opening gifts or something, you know, to compare something like that. Like,
right.
why do these certain things stick? Why do these gain followers?
I'm reading a book right now my brother gave me. It's called Tipping Point, and that's what it's all about. It's about how, like, not just internet sensations, but these fads that pop up overnight. So like the first chapter it talks about, and I don't remember this, I'm too young, but there were these shoes called Hush Puppies. So when they came out in the late 80s, they were really popular. Everybody wore them. And then like 1994, they only sold like 30,000 pairs of shoes. So they were going to take this series of shoe out of their lineup completely. And some kids in New York started wearing them, and these fashion designers started putting them in their shows. And then 1995, they sold like 650,000 pairs of these shoes. So it was just a few things that sparked that huge overflow of revenue for them.
Yeah, there's certain things that, like, if they just
think about, like, when we were kids, what was popular? Like, yo-yos went from nothing to something overnight.
I want to know if, I don't think that it's all formula-based. Like, certain things, obviously, they just are a hit. It just takes off for whatever reason, but a lot of it, there is some kind of like code to crack, and when you get through and it hits, it's just a sensation. Like, if you can get on Reddit these days, you will, like, you know, one of the top Reddit posters, you will take off infinitely. Or if you can become associated with somebody who already has a lot of followers, and they bring you in, and you kind of
ride their
coattails, so to speak, you're gonna take off. So like, could you imagine, like, think what it would do, we're podcasting, what it would do if we got on the Joe Rogan podcast?
Oh yeah, that would probably be huge. Just because of his exposure
insane.
Level.
Insane. He has 5 million followers. Like,
so even if only half of those people were to listen to, you know, our podcast, for instance, that would escalate us to an entirely different bracket.
It's more beneficial to go on Joe Rogan these days than it is to go on the fucking Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah. I read somewhere he makes like $30,000 an episode.
Probably at least, man.
And that's just the podcast.
That's at least, because those are getting millions of views. And,
yeah.
And then he has all his advertisers and sponsors. It's insane. And then just the clicks alone, the revenue that he gets just from the clicks from YouTube paying him.
Oh yeah.
If you could get on Joe Rogan or even a lower level podcast, like I've always talked about, I really like Tiger Belly, I think it's funny, or Chris D'Elia, any of those people who have a decent following, you will instantly overnight shoot up. So I think that's kind of the quick lane. But to build something up from scratch like we're trying to do, you really have to grind it out. And there has to kind of be that aha moment where
break through. I spend hours a week on our social media.
I
probably spend at least 2 hours a day, you know, just brainstorming and posting shit and replying to people.
And it's such a fine line between promoting your shit and
being obnoxious. Yeah.
It's so hard to do. It really is. I think a lot of what I try to do, I do, you do all the social media, I guess, but if I do decide to go out and do it on a certain day, I go hit the Twitter. I know you do the Facebook and the Instagram, and I kind of do more of the Twitter. And what I try to do is I just try to engage with people. Like, hey, like, you know, I'll go look for somebody that's asking, like, for a podcast recommendation.
Right,
I'll say, hey, check us out. This is our show. You know,
I mean,
give us
really,
a like.
That's the best way
I think it is
to do any type of promotion business-wise now, because, like, I mean, people still listen to the radio, but not like they used to.
Hell no.
People still watch local television, but not like they used to, especially not with commercials.
Hell no.
The way we can stream everything now. So the best way to engage anyone on any level for any type of promotional thing has to be through social media now.
Yeah, and especially when they're asking for those recommendations. And that's what I like about Twitter is I can go type... podcast
specific.
Recommendation in the search, and it'll bring up tweets where people have used those words. Any podcast recommendations? Boom, I hit it. And that's what I've really been trying to do for engagement, is being proactive. Go out and engage with people. And I think something that we're going to have to start doing in the future is being more bold and proactive as far as the guests that we want to go hit.
Yeah.
Just you'll never hit your shot if you don't shoot and ask.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
what you got to do, man. Like, you just got to go out and you got to try. Hey, and I'm a big believer of fake it till you make it. Like, you know, we'll go out there and there's no reason to not try. And
well,
all it could take is that one guest or that one episode where it just kind of sets things apart, and it just goes.
I think we're both on the same page with this too. We want to network with a lot of our local people too.
Absolutely.
Like, we're definitely both pro small business and local network and local businesses. And so, you know, anything like that we can do, that's a world that we definitely want to be a part of too.
Yeah. It's so easy. You know, if you're still listening, like, it helps us so much when you share our stuff, because it's getting it to eyes that we're not already reaching. Like, your network is different from our network. And then it goes to that person, the rule of, I don't know if it's the rule or what I'm looking for, but it's like the sixth, your
oh,
sixth
is this like
people
the seven, remember that game? It was like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
That's what I'm looking
for.
7 degrees of separation, or 6 degrees of separation, whatever it is. But yeah, you're like that 6 or 7 people away from the entire, well, I guess, the world. You know, that's the statistical way of looking at it. If you just share it, that helps so much. And I can only imagine how quickly that could take off if everybody shared. If they just did it one time.
I need a bidet real bad.
Yeah.
Like, you guys don't understand, my hygiene is taking a turn.
Help
for
this
worse.
Guy get a bidet. I mean,
I'm getting sick.
He took a freaking taser. Now he's got a crusty BH. Like, come on. Come on. That's why we tried doing those things. You just never know. But I mean, you're the one reading the book. You're gonna have to crack.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Once I get more into this book, we'll do like a real discussion about it, because it's really interesting. You know, there is a science behind why those things happen the way that. And I agree. It's not necessarily like, hey, if you plug in X and Y,
mm-hmm.
you get Z.
Right.
It's not quite that simple, because you're talking about like socio interaction
yeah.
and large scale. But there's the key part of this book is that there's a tipping point. So once, you know, I'm sure for podcasts, you could go through every famous podcast that exists now and look at what, you know, how many listeners do they have before they went viral or before
mm-hmm.
they exploded. There's probably some math there, you know, maybe it's 1,000 views or
that the tipping point. I was surfing through YouTube, and I remembered seeing these guys a long time ago, and it's so huge now. Like, they're doing their own tour. Dude Perfect.
Oh yeah, dude. My mom was talking to me about that, because so she teaches fourth grade, and she shows those videos in her classroom a lot. Yeah, because they're family safe. You know,
it's
there's no
super
language.
Kid, like.
Yeah,
kids
they're definitely playing to a big
I
demographic.
Enjoy it. I actually do. I
yeah,
enjoy
it's cool
it.
As shit. They have their own app. There's a game.
I enjoy their videos, but Dude Perfect started because these kids were in college and they had gotten together, just a group of buddies, and they were recording videos of them just doing simple trick shots. And like, one of them hit this pretty badass basketball
right,
shot.
Wild shot.
Boom! Overnight, they're a sensation.
Yeah, it just takes one moment.
Like, I don't know if. You've seen recently any of the Dude Perfect videos, but they have, like, you remember the Fantasy Factory?
Yeah, yeah, like with Rob Dyrdek.
They have something like that, but it's even bigger. It's
they're huge now. They have like a whole compound.
It's an entire warehouse with a basketball court, hockey rink, putting greens. They
those guys are crazy rich
everything.
Now, too.
Could you imagine that being your job, just to do trick shots? Like, I've always said, like, long. Dude Perfect has the best job in the world.
I wonder if those guys ever get sick of that. Like, fuck, man, I really don't want to play basketball today.
I've seen their houses. I don't think they are.
That's true. The other thing is there's like 15 of them, 15 or 20 of them.
No.
So they don't. They rotate.
Well, there's
like,
only,
who does which videos.
There's only
six original members
only,
or something.
There's only five of them.
Five.
And it stayed with those five. There's the twins. There's a tall guy. The guy, they do have one guy that's the leader, and then there's
it may just
redhead.
Be like their whole production crew.
They have a team now that does their videos and their editors and stuff, but it's just five guys from college, and just that's a perfect example of something like why did that take off? Like, people have hit trick shots before, but
they published it the right way, and enough of the right people saw it.
They just got into something.
Yeah,
something
they found
else.
A niche.
And I remember even seeing it on ESPN at one point. It made like SportsCenter.
Uh-huh.
And that
like one of their YouTube clips.
Like, it's crazy that something like that, just there's so much power in that. If you could just get that one highlight,
that
one clip in that one place, that's like why LeVar Ball became big, the fucking ball people. Because they were just so loud, and then
guy,
they got on ESPN. And
that guy
like,
drives me fucking insane.
Well, the good news about LeVar Ball is the big baller
ESPN.
Brand went bankrupt.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lonzo
They're
pulled out.
Down. He pulled it. Lonzo pulled out because the guy had been stealing his money. I think we've mentioned that before, but they officially shut down. I saw a funny tweet or Instagram post that Big Baller Brand, they were at this volleyball event, and they were selling. There was just this terrible sign. It was written in half-assed Sharpie. It was faded, and it was all these discounted items. Because their shoes were like $500, like $495.
Yeah. And not even Lonzo's, like his high school brother's shoe brand. Like, they all had their own line.
Yeah, they all had their own custom shoe, and now they're selling them for under $100. They're selling hats for $5. They're just trying to clear their inventory. Everything must go type of sale.
Do you go out and buy that trash now? Like, it's going to be worthless, right?
Nah, I wouldn't. I remember that some people that were sneakerheads, and they...
Just for, like, the nostalgia factor?
There were people who were saying, like, hey, these shoes are kind of iconic in a sense that this is the first time that a college player has come out and tried to do his own brand like
sure,
this.
Sure, I mean, it was a good effort.
They thought that shoe was kind of iconic for that, like, but at the end of the day, you see kind of what happens when you try to take on Nike or an Adidas.
Those companies
like,
are so big, too, and so deeply entrenched in the sports.
It's crazy. Like, okay... To shift to this a little bit, it goes along with it, but Colin Kaepernick's with Nike now.
Right. That's like trying to take down Edward Jones. Like, it's not going to happen.
He's with Nike, and I don't know if you heard... Did you hear about how he shut that, like, Betsy Ross shoe down?
No,
you didn't hear about that? Yeah, so there was this shoe that came out that Nike had been doing, and it had the Betsy Ross flag on the back, like, on the heel.
Okay.
And he had said, like, oh, that flag represents racism and slavery, like, basically that whole spiel, and they fucking pulled the shoe, the whole, but it was a big deal in the state of Arizona. I don't know why the Arizona was associated with this. For some reason, it might have been promoted there,
right?
But Arizona, I think, banned Nike from coming there. It just kind of blew up. But
Nike laughed at that too. They're like, oh you mean your tiny ass little market?
Yeah, we don't need that. Like, we're global. They think if Nike just operated in China. Like,
they're probably still set.
Do you know how many feet there are in China? Yeah.
What's that? Get him to the Greek. He's like, you know how many Jordan 6 kids go through?
No kidding. My mom was not going to buy me nice shoes until I stopped growing. And even then it was like...
Shit, even now it's hard to keep shoes nice for...
I think it's ridiculous to pay like if it's a really nice pair of shoes and I want them, $150, yeah, like the most I'll pay.
And I'll only spend that like once every 2 or 3 years.
I gotta really want those shoes, right. But like if I'm just getting an everyday pair of shoes, like $80, that's like reasonable.
A lot
and
of
that's
the guys,
a lot. Like I'd rather pay 50.
A lot of the guys I work with are sneakerheads. So like when the Yeezys yeah. came out, they bought like 4 or 5 pairs of them in different sizes and shit.
Weren't those shoes like $2,000?
They were reselling. Originally, they were like $500 or $600 a pop. But that's what happened. These guys bought, you know, 4 or 5 pairs of them. They sat on them for 6 months until, you know, they stopped stocking them. And then they turned around and sold them online.
So it's almost like they're selling drugs. In a yeah. sense, like they're
I mean, yeah,
it,
like a sneaker addiction.
Yeah, and sneakerheads,
that's a frivolous thing to spend money on, right?
That's a huge market. There's a kid, I can't remember his name, but that's like all he does is he locates these super rare sneakers and sells
them
to like DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
Like, he's their shoe hookup.
It makes sense.
If
you remember, like, Cribs back in the day, that was always part of the show. They would go in their closet and look at their shoes. Like, that's a big part of our pop culture.
And shoes are definitely part of, you know, the fashion.
That's a huge fashion. Yeah, especially like, for men. That's it, you know, for a long time.
Everybody's got to have this iconic pair. You know what pair of shoes I always liked as a kid were the Jordan Space Jams?
Oh yeah,
They almost
look like hand painted.
I just thought those were cool, but I haven't felt that way about. I guess I just don't care about shoes, but I don't feel that way about shoes anymore.
I'm not like
that was
super
when I played basketball. I don't know. I have a buddy, Jared, and he's actually asked to come on the podcast. But what he does is he's actually super badass at this, man. We'll have him on and explain it, but he like what's the word I'm looking for? He'll get a shitty pair of shoes and he'll redo
them.
He restores them.
Yeah.
And dude, he does a badass job.
Oh,
he can
yeah.
change the colors. He makes them look brand new and he just gets rare shoes sometimes and people go to him and like, hey, I want this style, and he just does it, man.
Yeah, we should see if he can make some Whiskey Wager shoes.
I guarantee you.
Yeah,
we
should definitely look into that. That'd be cool.
You
shit.
He could. I know he does it. I'll show you some
fuck,
of his shit.
Fuck everybody's cheap ass t-shirts. We're getting new shoes made.
Yeah. And then we'll put you in some Jesus loafers.
Yeah.
sneakers though, that's a huge, huge market. And I know a big problem with some of it are the counterfeits, like Chinese counterfeits.
Oh yeah, I mean anytime you get like
yep
any type of brand name, anything, there's gonna be huge but knockoffs.
There's always a Chinese knockoff. It's insane. Like if you go visit like the website's Alibaba, and that's just Chinese suppliers. So what I did this one time, so I'm a hunter, and I was looking at these broadheads, and I figured out, I was like, holy shit, that's what a ton of people are doing on eBay, is they're getting, they'll drop ship. So they'll have a relationship with the Chinese supplier,
right?
And they'll just have the manufacturer over in China, like, say it's my website, you place an order with me, I'll just have my supplier ship the order
straight to you. Right.
So that's a drop ship.
Right. You don't have to work as a middleman.
No, they don't handle
no
inventory. It's literally just a markup on the price from my supplier
to you. That's a great business.
It's just drop
model.
Shipping. And what they're doing, though, is you're not getting the real product.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's the problem.
Right.
Is you're not getting the name brand. But at the same time, that's what all the actual name brands are doing. It's just not the correct manufacturer. There's so many manufacturers in China.
Oh yeah, Nike outsources tons of their work.
Yeah, it's
cheaper to have
Nike,
those shoes made in China at a lower tax rate than
Nike doesn't actually make shoes. People don't fucking realize that they have a supplier that makes the
right,
shoes.
Right, they have a contract.
And this is the design, and that's how a ton of stuff works, like medical equipment, like GE, like a GE MRI. I didn't know this until I started working this job. GE doesn't make that shit. They don't. They have tons of suppliers that make this part of the MRI and this and that and this and that and this.
Because they've outsourced all of those pieces to the lowest bidder.
Every single piece.
Right, at the highest quality.
Is made not by GE.
Right.
There's nothing manufactured by GE.
Yeah, because that's a huge level of infrastructure that they would have to take on.
Absolutely.
So you have to pay the bills for all those manufacturing facilities. You have to pay all those people. You have to run quality control. It's cheaper to outsource that to countries where labor is really inexpensive.
Yep.
And then all you're doing is managing the intake.
So tons of businesses like that that are huge.
Yeah, more like a consulting. It's more like a consulting firm.
I don't think people realize that, but they're not in the business of manufacturing. They do not actually make the goods. They'll put their name on the goods that are made by somebody else. And a lot of people just don't realize that.
That's
true. If you go buy a...
That happens in the food world too. Like Hershey owns a lot of different companies. Coke owns a lot of these different companies. All those products are made under, like, if you went to Australia and bought that, it would have a different name on it because it would be that manufacturer, not Coca-Cola or not Hershey.
Different.
But then they ship it to America, slap a brand on it, and sell it.
If you go buy like a Gucci or a Louis Vuitton shirt, they're not making it. They have a supplier over in Italy or wherever,
right?
And they're making it and they're stamping their name on it. So that's a big business in itself. Is if you want to do private labeling, there's just manufacturers, like, you give them your design, say we want to start making whiskey, for example.
Right.
We could go to a whiskey distiller and they'll already have it and they'll just put your label on it. That's
right.
What Conor
McGregor
did. And
just pay them to make it.
Yes, that's exactly what Conor McGregor did. Because you remember all of a sudden he's a big hit, he's a phenomenon, he gets in the whiskey game. Well, whiskey can take up to... It takes many years to make a good whiskey.
Yeah, like, and he jumped in quick.
Yeah, so he got in quick, but what people don't realize is that whiskey had been made before he was ever Conor McGregor.
He sampled several flights.
I read an
and
article
said, this
about
is what
it.
I like.
I read an article about it. He went and sampled over 100 different whiskeys before he said, okay, that's proper 12. I'll put my name on that
right.
one. Because those whiskeys had to have been made long before he was famous. They have to age in a barrel.
Right.
That's what gives whiskey its dark colors. It's aging in a barrel. So it's just crazy that private labeling, like, we could go get hooked up with a supplier.
Yeah, have money to make money.
Yeah, we'll just go get hooked up with a supplier. We put our own label on it, but they make it.
That's crazy.
And that's all you got to do.
Yeah, I didn't realize that with the whiskey thing. That's
There's actually a lot of prominent whiskeys you wouldn't even realize, but they don't actually make their own shit. They might have Jack Daniels make their shit.
Oh, yeah,
now, they might have this company make their shit that you've never heard
they
of.
They just give them access to their proprietary ingredient list or whatever, the process.
We could go even to a small mom-and-pop operation and say, here's our recipe, make it like this, slap our label on it, boom, that's your...
That'd be tight if we had a Whiskey Wagers whiskey.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be cool. We should look into, like, how much, like, a small batch runs.
I think we're going to get our hands on this formula. I mean, we talked about last episode. I'm going to hit the Pornhub ads.
Yeah.
You're reading the book. You're going to find the tipping point. And all of a sudden, we're just going to break through. We're going to have Whiskey Wagers everything.
That'd be cool.
But
that's definitely the dream, right?
That's the dream. There's so much potential in podcasting in the future.
It's definitely like
my mind on
it. It's kind of like the last great endeavor for journalism, really, because it's the last thing that's really uncensored. I mean, satellite radio, yes, to some extent, but even that,
pay for a subscription,
and big companies are, you know, are balls deep in that. Podcasting, this is something me and you do, you know, in your office at your house, and
anybody can.
It's cool.
It's a great form of media. And what's kind of also I've thought about is, it's interesting to me, is that Apple created the podcast, and I'm surprised that they haven't monetized on that, which I'm glad they haven't, because
oh, yeah,
I think
for sure.
It creates the forum that we have.
This open free market system,
There's no red tape, there's no bureaucracy, there's no governing body. It's just open for you to create what you want, but there's not like an Android or a Microsoft or IBM or somebody else involved. Apple created the podcast, and I think that over time, I really do think it will kill off the radio, satellite radio thing. You'll have radio. I just don't think it will be.
Yeah, it's not going to be nearly as prominent.
It's
going to
be like a dead media, basically.
I didn't get into the podcasting until we started making this, but there's a podcast for
everything.
There's
everything.
At least 10 podcasts.
You could
for
find
everything.
A podcast just about trees.
Yeah.
You could find podcasts about painting. You could find one about sports.
It's definitely a cool
there's
avenue.
One.
It's
you could
a
find
good resource.
A podcast about podcasting.
Yeah.
And what we've done is we just do obviously anybody that's listening knows what we do, but we just do a talk show, comedy based talk show, and talk about current events. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of good feedback on it, that people just enjoy, like, listening to something that doesn't annoy them, that they can just put on a Monday morning and
that's amazing
gets their
that
day
turned
off.
Into me and you.
You know, it's awesome. I've tried to think. I'm like, I don't think I could really. I don't. I know there's not a lot of people I could do it with, but right. we work so well together because we have a lot of the same interests. But people that listen, it just seems so natural. But I would challenge you, like,
yeah,
try
this
to
is
do
not.
It.
It's not as easy it's as not, it comes across.
It's not as easy as it comes across. Like,
well,
try to
I
just
hate
go
to make
sick.
This comparison, but like, watch a pro athlete play their sport. And they're like, oh, wow, I could do that. That looks simple. Yeah.
We're not pros by any means.
Like, watch golf. Go watch a round of golf.
British
and
Open.
And you see how seamless it is for them to do that. And then go play golf. And I'm not making that exact comparison.
Sure.
I'm not, like, jerking our own chain that hard. But it takes some effort. And it definitely took some learning. And that's part of why I enjoy it is because it was such a new endeavor.
Yeah, it's something new. And who doesn't like a new challenge? Like, I'm definitely a goal-oriented person and
like that's like challenges. That's the catch of getting older is you find less things that are new. You know, I've always made this, you know, as a child, you have 100 new experiences a day and life seems so mundane. And then you get to a point where, you know, you're out of school or your job's not challenging anymore. And it's hard to, you got to go out of your way to find new memories to make,
yeah.
new experiences to have.
Technology is crazy, man. I kind of wanted to do a this day in history thing on our show.
Yeah,
and what I looked up, I saw today is this actually July 21st, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon at 2:59 a.m. That's pretty crazy. I didn't know it was actually today, but there's the technology then that they had on the moon to like where we're at now. It's insane.
I saw there's a meme going around a few years ago, and it's a picture of the lady that coded for NASA for the first spacewalk, and they coded everything by hand back then, right? You don't have digital coding at that point. And it was like, you know, she's probably like 5'6", and that stack of code was like just as tall as her.
I believe
it's insane. My mom and my grandpa always tell me the story. He took them to Kennedy to watch the spaceship launch
at
for the
Houston,
moon landing.
Right?
Yeah, well, it was in Florida. Okay.
Well, isn't Houston associated with the space?
Yeah, that's so NASA has a big place there. Like growing up, we went there a lot.
It's not just like we have a problem in Houston.
No,
like,
they have that's the command center. That's where they talk to them and everything.
Makes sense.
But Kennedy is where they launch everything. Always that's where like
Florida.
Tesla launches all their stuff, SpaceX and all that.
I think there's definitely like an increased level of intelligence like back then when you had to do everything by hand and there wasn't a computer program.
Which is amazing because we have literally the answer to every problem at our fingertips.
Yeah, now you do.
And
like
people are generally dumber.
I've heard that when we went to the moon in 69 that the computers were less than what you have in your pocket right now.
Way less.
Less.
Like my graphing calculator in high school had more memory
just
than the whole spaceship.
So think of like just the level of knowledge and that you'd have to
when they were landing or reentering the atmosphere, they had to do all those calculations by hand. It wasn't like you punched it into a supercomputer
do
now.
The mathematics that went into just making it to the moon accurately, but then having to get through.
And it's something so small as like
insane.
Like figuring out the gravity on the moon versus gravity on Earth. Like when you inflate tires, like for the Mars rovers and stuff like that, when they set them up, you know, there's almost no air in those tires when they launch. And when they get to Mars, they're fully inflated because of the gravity difference.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're supposed to be going back to the moon in like 2020 or 2022 or something like that. I think there's a new space mission coming up, but I think that'll be really cool. And that's
like
does
an
happen.
Early attempt to set up a community
a
on another planet,
mission,
right?
Actually manned mission. I think that'll be really cool when it does happen because I'm really into space and
space exploration's cool as shit. There's a lot of stuff like the whole universe is out there.
It's the next frontier, right?
That's got to be the last frontier at some point, right? Because it's never ending.
It's never ending, but I think it's just naturally the next step in a progression of the world. Or
right,
because
eventually we're going to outgrow our system.
Yeah.
We have to expand in some way.
So you would have... I mean,
up to this point, we've done all of our population expanse through technology. Farming has gotten more effective, GMOs and all those things, so we can feed more people or whatever but we're getting close to what they call the carrying capacity, which is the Earth's natural number that it can support, right?
Yep.
So at some point we have to find a way around that.
Yeah, it's only natural to want to go explore the you know, what you see in the sky. And what I always thought was cool when you're with space is it's kind of a, like a time capsule. When you look at stars, you're looking in the past. That always fascinates me.
Millions of years.
Yeah, just because of the light.
I read
it takes to get to you.
I think it's what's the name of that star?
Sirius?
No, Betelgeuse.
Yeah,
They said that we may be able to see that supernova in our lifetime. That'd be really cool to watch.
So it's already
happened.
It's exploded,
yeah, like
thousands of years ago, and that light is still traveling.
Right. They said it takes 8 seconds for the light from the sun to get to us.
I think
there's some reference.
I think it's 8 minutes. I think it's 8 minutes. I thought because I heard if the sun exploded, you would know. You would have 8 minutes before it happened.
But that's still like think about that's how long it takes to get from the sun to the Earth. Yeah. And every other star is exponentially further away than that.
We're the third rock from the sun.
Watched that show?
No, I never.
It was awesome.
I never watched any sitcoms. But when they're always looking for possible planets to inhabit, they always talk about the Goldilocks zone, how it's
right.
a perfect distance from a star.
Earth is tilted just right.
Just right.
To have just the right seasons.
It's pretty incredible when you put all those factors together, how everything, it had to have been perfect, or you just wouldn't have got what you have. And something that blew my mind when I heard it is, how was it phrased? But if you put the lifetime of the universe on a calendar year, we would be at like, I'm trying to think how to say, put it, but something along... I'm kind of fumbling this, but if you put it in a calendar year, what we know, what human time has been is like, we would be like January 2.
Yeah.
The
best description I ever heard was if you lay out the entire history, this was just of the Earth. So if you lay out the entire history of the Earth on a map, it goes from LA to New York City. Recorded human existence is like
LA,
2 feet.
Probably.
Yeah, the dinosaurs were like 2 blocks.
Yeah, same example. So yeah, exactly. Like on a calendar, you would only see a day out of the life of the universe.
Probably not even a complete day.
Yeah, just of what human time has been on.
It makes you feel real small.
Real insignificant. I'm not opposed to there being multiverses. And
I've always been a big fan of the multiverse theory.
If infinity is real and they say space is infinite, then there's an infinite possibilities. And the human mind isn't meant to understand infinity, but just when you try to grasp it a little bit.
Yeah, it's so intangible.
You can't put any limitations on anything if it's an infinite.
Well, and the best way I've always thought about that, too, is like think about a year when you're a kid. Like, you're in fourth grade and you're going to be in fifth grade next year. That year is forever long, right? I mean, because relatively, you know, you're only 10, 12 years old, so that's 1/10 of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm 30. A year is, you know, basically nothing to me.
Yeah, that's
so think when you think about like human life is, we'll say 80 years compared to even 1,000 years is nothing. You know, we can't wrap our head around if your whole lifetime is a blip, you know, in the perspective of that term, in terms of a million or an infinite number of years, mm-hmm. It's impossible to imagine that.
Yeah, and I've always thought that civilization began way before we ever know. Like, what we know is just not that's just such a small snapshot on Earth's time.
Right.
There had to have been civilizations that got wiped out way before the Egyptians. And there's these fundamentalist Christians who like truly believe
6,000 years old.
Like 6,000 years old.
Yeah, because there's some like weird things with carbon dating.
Dinosaur bones are like here to test you and things like that. Like, that's such a weird way of
thinking.
That's
taking faith to a whole new level.
That's so just small-minded. Like, I don't want to criticize how people think. But
our opinion is...
At the same time, I just think it's so narrow-sighted to think that, like, with how much evidence there is out there to point otherwise. Like, you know, you can draw your own conclusions, but, like, I just think you're making a really bad conclusion from the evidence that we have.
Well, I mean, and to take that, you know, to another level outside of just religion is the way we make like laws and policies, we're so fucking worried about these super minute in, you know, well, let's make pot illegal, or let's, you know, let's enforce a seatbelt law. Like, grand scheme, man, that's you're talking less than pebbles.
We got off the track somewhere.
Yeah, our priorities are so far out of whack.
Man, so much of those fucked up priorities, I really think it all stems from money.
Oh, absolutely. Because money is power now.
When they say money is the root of all evil, like, yeah, it is.
Well, you know, there's that old phrase that says, absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's more to it. I can't remember the rest of the quote, but money is essentially the way to power in our society now. 100%. So if you have, you know, what would seem like an unlimited, like think about the Rothschilds, they basically have an unlimited supply of money. So they have an unlimited supply of power. Of course, they're going to corrupt that at some point.
Funding both sides of wars and profiting off of it.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know that you can, you know, it's really easy to sit back and say, oh, those are evil people, but How would I react in that same situation? I'm going to exploit that.
Right. What do you want? Like,
where do you draw your ethical line when it comes to ease of life?
What would you do if that was your legacy? Family? Are you going to be like, no, we shouldn't obtain more wealth and power?
Right. It's hard to say. No matter what your motivation is at that point, it's really hard to negate the fact that that's an entirely different lifestyle. Like, you know, whether you're doing that for the betterment of your future children or the betterment of the rest of your life, how do you turn that down?
Right. And when you keep that wealth in the family like that, like what that's what you're supposed to fucking do. Like,
right. I want my progeny to be as successful as possible.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, my parents were successful and I was better off than somebody else who was. It's now, like, what do you want me to do about it?
I will
it?
Say,
this is,
I think
this is the way it is. Like, change your fucking circumstances.
I think you have to handle that as a, you know, a sharp two-sided blade, because look at how that generation grew up without any wants or needs, and they have no moral compass because they never had to.
Yeah, and that is a part of the problem with money, but at the same time, like,
well, just because they've transcended those thoughts and ideals, because they're richer than everyone. They literally have more power than anybody. So there's no check.
But you can't blame them for setting themselves up well.
No.
Like, it's like, I mean, they were successful.
It was a
like,
great, it
what
was
do
a,
you want to do about it? Like, so what?
Ethically, it was a little iffy to get there, but.
But it happened.
But it did happen.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So get over it and change your circumstances instead of harping on other people and how they have it. If you want to get there, then you are your creator. Like,
oh,
you
this whole keeping up with the Joneses thing, that idea has got to be spent
at
this point.
You control your own destiny. You control your life. Nobody else does. At the end of the day, your problems are because of you. There's situations where you might have external problems, but honestly, like, you can change your circumstances. If you try and you go out and you put, you know, your best foot forward, you just have to go do it. You can't
absolutely.
You can't hate on other people for what they've gained. I always thought it was funny as a kid when they'd like when people would make fun of other people, like, "Oh, you're the rich kid." Like, well, sorry, parents fucking got a job and did like this or that. Like, what do you? So that's my fault that they got their shit together. Like,
well,
I want to be poor.
You know,
like,
what's funny?
On.
Like, there's a dichotomy there because we made fun of the poor kid too, and everybody was fine with that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's totally okay to make fun of someone with less than you.
I didn't either.
But you know, kids are ruthless. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like that was an easy target. Like,
you'd come to school with dirty clothes,
and it just felt
stinky.
It felt even as a child, it felt okay to pick on those people, and it didn't feel okay to pick on that kid that you know had the newest watch or the newest Pokemon card or whatever.
That's who you wanted to be friends with.
But as adults, we do that now too, right?
Play that Xbox.
We're so quick to judge immigrants or people with less than us, but we're really short when it comes to picking at like the president or people who have, you know, substantially better lives than us. I don't feel like people are as quick to judge those people as harshly. That's changing now because everyone's a child molester with money, but
yeah, no kidding. I think it's been a good episode today, man. We had a lot of good discussions. want to remind everybody that before we wrap it up, we did do the Juice in the Morning show. Look for their episode to come out. We'll also post it on our page. If you want to see it live, there's a Facebook video on our Whiskey Wagers Facebook or the Juice in the Morning Facebook page as well. But hey, it's another one in the books. Do we have any guests coming up or lineup? I know we're supposed to have Chad. Maybe next, we'll reset that.
Yeah, we'll get Chad whenever Chad's available. That's how it works.
Yeah, what's on the agenda, man?
I know coming up we have Zach Held in a couple weeks and Anthony Michael Lisco. Those are both some guys that we know that own their own business now that we're trying to network with. They're both pretty funny guys, so that should be good.
Yeah. All right, hey, everybody, appreciate it. Listen to the show, like, subscribe, rate, review. Until next Sunday, y'all, Whiskey Wagers out.